Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Charles Mills, and I'm always so glad when he will take some time out of his busy schedule and talk to us. He is more than just a guest. He actually did come up with the name for Homeschool Companion, and I've known him now since 2008. So we're coming up to 10 years. He helped me get going in the business of radio, and I remember once he said, if you get into radio, it has an unquenchable appetite.
That's right.
And I have found that to be true. Yeah. Every day, making sure that there is a show up there, that our listeners have something that is of value, and that the guests and people that we interview, you know, getting them lined up. And thank you so much, Charles, for being with us. I just have to say, you know, I was thinking of your bio, and I thought, well, maybe I could just do like a question and answer thing to start with. So, Charles, have you ever taught?
Yes, I have. I am proud to say that a small church school in Rome, Georgia, I taught there for a couple of years and enjoyed the experience very much and learned a lot of the things you talk about on Homeschool Companion when it comes to interacting with children and children interacting with each other. It is quite a dynamic thing going on there.
And in fact, I think that a small church school is more akin to a homeschooling family than it is even to a traditional classroom in the public school that has, you know, 26 to 30 children.
Yeah.
So have you ever been a pilot?
Absolutely. I used to teach flying down in Tennessee and taught people how to fly airplanes and little airplanes and big airplanes and in the clouds, and just had a good time doing that because the world looks pretty nice from up there, I'll have to say. The world looks nice from 8,000 feet.
It does. And just think how great it's going to look from heaven.
Oh, amen to that. Amen.
Now, I think you have published, you're an author of more than 50 books. Have I lost count?
Well, I think it's coming up on 51 now, and so that's, you know, who's counting? But
yeah, well,
actually, I am counting.
You can put in your 51, what's your 51st book about?
My 51st book is called God on God, and it's the story of how Christ revealed God in some new and up to that point misunderstood ways. God was so misunderstood, as a matter of fact, that when Jesus showed up, God on earth, no one recognized him. Who is this person? Why, can any good come out of Nazareth? They did not recognize the character of God as it stood before them. That's how Satan had changed the minds of people and brought them off course in understanding who God is and how God acts, and especially how God deals with sin and sinners. Interesting stuff.
God on God. I can hardly wait to read it.
Good.
Okay, so then also a radio personality. You are a radio personality.
Oh,
how many shows have you hosted through your career?
Oh my! I began way back in the 80s when I was the manager of a radio station at Pacific Union College. It was called KANG at that time, and we did a lot of talk radio at that time and interviewed people and teachers. I had a whole university full of people to talk to, and that was fun because I love talking to smart people. That's why I love talking to you, by the way.
Oh,
and then during the last 10-15 years, I've done a lot of things on Life Talk and on 3ABN and other radio networks about health and about religious liberty and about all kinds of topics of how to live a Christian life. We as Christians are kind of unique animals. We have a unique need, and the world doesn't understand it sometimes, but we need to share what God has told us and how we can live and how we can be healthy and how we can protect our religious freedoms. Those things need to be said, and I love being part of saying those things to the world.
Amen. Now, have you done any video work?
Yes, lots of video work. That used to be a big part of what I did in my business. My company was called Christian Communications. And a lot of video work for the Seventh Adventist Church and also for a lot of retirement villages and homes and nursing homes and whatnot. Video now has been, of course, been replaced by websites, and not too many people are making videos these days, so I switched over to doing editing of Vibrant Life magazine and whatnot. So you just go with the punches.
Oh, yeah, editing. Okay, so what about audio drama?
Audio drama. I love writing scripts for Your Story Hour, and I love making spots, radio spots, for the General Conference Children's Ministry Department. Like you, I have a special place in my heart for young people. I figure it this way, and you probably do too, Rose, that if we can get to that young person's heart early, if we can get truth wedged in there, if we can get the information that child needs early, it will serve them longer than if we just give it to them when they're an adult. But also, hopefully, it will keep them from making some mistakes and having some misunderstandings that will cause damage in their life. So I love working with kids and talking with kids and making material for kids, because if I can set them up correctly, help God set them up correctly, they'll have a much better life. And I believe that 100%.
I do too. Now, have I left out anything?
I am married to the most beautiful woman on the earth. I just want to put that in there.
Well,
and
that's
I have
important.
The craziest dog on earth. I need to put that in there as well. And live in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia, on a beautiful little hillside looking east, where I can watch Orion come up during the night. Mm. And it's just a beautiful place to live. So I'm happy. And most important thing, I retired recently, which means I can have more time to enjoy all the things I just said.
Yes, and I know you're trying to do that, but I'm here to tell you that it's not going to work.
I know.
Our show is about allergies.
Yes.
And I just thought it was so cool that you were even willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I wondered if you could set the stage by why you became interested in the topic of allergies.
Well, that beautiful wife I told you about, she
yes.
has a lot of those. And as time has gone by, I realize that I have a lot of those. And allergies are one of those things that are pretty hard to put your finger on. Sometimes you have a peanut allergy. Oh, I understand that.
Mm-hmm.
But you may be allergic to other things that are a little bit harder to pin down. And that's moving from the allergies, where they have medicines for allergies and they have tests for allergies. The doctors can give you an allergy test, into what's called multiple chemical sensitivity. Multiple chemical sensitivities, unlike allergies, are what's called idiopathic. In other words, no one knows the cause or the mechanism of what's going on. You just know that you don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't feel good more when you have come into contact with one of these chemicals. And it manifests itself in some rather profound ways, everything from burning, stinging eyes to breathlessness to fatigue to poor memory, the inability to think clearly, skin rashes, sleeping problems, digestion problems, joint pain. Multiple chemical sensitivities are like allergies on steroids, and you probably are allergic to steroids at the same time. So
mm-hmm.
we're talking about something that the body is fighting, and we don't know exactly what it is and how to deal with it. That's the bad news. Then the worst news is that these multiple chemical sensitivities, because they are so elusive, the doctors don't know what to do with them. They'll say, oh, you have fibromyalgia, you have chronic fatigue syndrome. They'll give it all kinds of names, and they might give you some pills and potions to help with the symptoms, but you still have a problem with the chemical. Until you find that chemical and eliminate it from your life or mitigate it from your life, you're going to have a problem with it. The good news is that it is possible to do it. Now, that said, I must say this, that multiple chemical sensitivity is identifiable by what you can't see. It is hidden. It is hidden in so many things. Even, I had a doctor once tell me that, you know, Charles, I can give you a shot of something, but you might be allergic to the preservatives in the shot. Mm-hmm. I could give you a pill, but you may be allergic to it. You might have a multiple chemical sensitivity to the chemicals that are used to preserve the medicine. So the medicine might do you good, but the chemicals that are used as a preservative might do you bad. So it is a real problem to try to face these things. You have to know, Rose Gamblin, that we are absolutely surrounded by chemicals. Mm-hmm. And you have to know that every one of us, you, me, everybody, is sensitive to chemicals. Just some of us are more sensitive than others. And that brings me back to my wife. She is extremely sensitive to a lot of things, to everything. If it does not come directly from the hand of God, she's sensitive to it. If she buys an all-cotton shirt, but there is some nylon stitching in it, or if the label was made with some printing ink that has some preservatives in it, she'll react to those things in this all-cotton shirt. So it is very difficult for her to find what works, and it's a real challenge.
Wow. Well, I just learned something about multiple chemical sensitivity. I mean, I'm connecting the dots with what we did in a show for you on HeartWise about immunizations and learning disabilities. Well, we're going to have to take a break here, but we'll be right back. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162. Welcome back. You're listening to Homeschool Companion. So this is something that parents need to take seriously. Now, if you're, let's say you're a young parent, how could you suspect that your child has an allergy or has a multiple chemical sensitivity to something that, you know, can even be the diaper?
Yes, it could. It could be the chemical and preservatives in the powder that you sprinkle on the diaper. It can be the glue on... I don't want to make everyone just afraid of everything, because there is a level. If we can get ourselves down below a certain level, if you're not like my wife who has to have it just gone, but most of us, a majority of us, need to reduce that down to a level where our bodies are able to deal with it. Also, you have to understand that as our bodies are dealing with these chemical sensitivities and these allergies, it is using resources that it cannot use now, because it's using resources to deal with those things, that it can't use to stay healthy, to keep you thin, to give you energy to go through the life, to give you energy for thinking. Every resource we use in our body to fight an allergy or to fight a multiple chemical sensitivity is resources that we can't use elsewhere. So it would behoove us all to try to reduce the impact of chemicals on our body. And if you'd like, I can list some of the ways that we can do that.
Well, I would, because I have here list some ways that we can prevent allergies and multiple chemical sensitivities.
All right. Well, then let's look at this. If you step back and look at your world and your child's world, it is wrapped in chemicals. It is wrapped in chemicals. The cloth, the man-made cloth, is a petroleum product. A lot of the foods that we're eating, the preservatives, the additives, are chemicals. You get into sheets that may have been washed by chemical-laden soap, and a dryer sheet. That's all chemicals. So our food, our environment, the clothes we wear, the sheets we have over us, the rooms in which we live, the paint that we use on the walls can be off-gassing chemicals that are being brought into our bodies, and we are dealing with those chemicals in some rather profound ways. What can we do? Let's just learn how to use soap that doesn't have all these bad things in it. Just a, you know, cheer comes has free a free chemical kind of cheer or tide free that doesn't have these things in it. Let's try to choose clothes that are as close to 100% cotton or 100% wool or 100% silk as possible to get away from all those chemicals. In other words, you can't eliminate it, but you can certainly reduce it, bring it down. The cleaning supplies, oh my goodness, underneath the sink of these houses are a chemical soup. Let's mm-hmm. just use vinegar. Let's just use lemon oil. Let's just use simple things and reduce the chemical footprint in our environments. And the first thing you'll notice, it's true with me. The first thing, we tore up all the carpets in our house many years ago and put in our case, bamboo floors and marmoleum floors that are all natural. I could breathe better. Suddenly, I could breathe better in my own house because these things were removed. It made all the difference in the world.
Wow. Well, when did your wife first notice that she had all these, like, hypersensitive?
Oh, my. She was a sickly child, and now we know why. She went through surgeries for all kinds of things that had nothing to do with the problem. Now we know that. Mm. In other words, for many years, she thought her problems were something else. Mm-hmm. She thought she was having ulcers. She thought she was having too much acid in her stomach. She thought she was having nervous problems. She thought she was having conditions that had nothing to do with chemical sensitivities. But it had everything to do with chemical sensitivities. Only when we started to just slowly remove all the things I was talking about, everything from the clothes she wears, the soap she uses, the house we live in, the environment we're in, as we started removing these things, she started getting better. She started feeling better, thinking clearer, having less itchy rashes, less sensitivity, less runny nose. And it, little by little, she started getting better. And we weren't taking medicines. We weren't going to the doctor. We were just simply removing those elements in our environment that were causing it. Now, that said, of course, there are things that the doctor can help you with, and I don't say don't go to a doctor, but if the doctor has tried and can't seem to find anything and it's not seemed to be working, that kind of tells me that this might be outside the medical profession. This might be mm-hmm. in the environment, and we start looking at that. You and I have talked often about children's health and children's minds and how they're able to think clearly and how they have certain learning disabilities. It's very possible that these things, like you say, could be environment issues, that if we simply clean up our act, if we simply try to make our environment less chemical laden, that some of these things will just, like mist in the morning, fade away.
Yeah, I've had students come that were asthmatic.
Yes.
And by the end of the school year, they had no asthmatic symptoms.
Yes.
You know, the parents would give me inhalers and some other contraption that I was supposed to let them breathe on ever so often. And they said they couldn't go outside. And I said, well, our policy is that every child goes outside mm-hmm. every day, yeah. at least twice a day. And so they said, well, okay, well, then we'll just make sure that she always has her inhaler or mm-hmm. he always has her and his inhaler. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting just to see how by the end of the school year, even before Christmas, they no longer were needing that inhaler yes. when they would run. And I often thought it was just because we went outside and refreshed our bodies with fresh air rather than just the air that was inside the building. Who knows?
I mean, that's a very good point, because sometimes our buildings, you've heard of the sick building syndrome, sometimes our buildings, the construction material they use can be bad, the cleaning materials. I'm here to tell you that the good news is that people are wising up. People are figuring this out. If you go to Lowe's or to Home Depot, you'll find very clean materials now that are being offered. And everything from insulation to treated wood, they're starting to use materials that they know are not going to be carcinogenic to human beings. And it does my heart good to see this thing. But there's a lot we need to do. And how far do we go? Well, how well do you want to be, I guess, is the question. Do you move out of the city, out into the country? Well, do you want to be well? Can you do that? Is it possible to do that? Can you mitigate the problems where you are? And of course, the answer to that is yes, and we all need to be doing that. Because again, the resources we're using to fight multiple chemical sensitivities and allergies are resources that could be better used to keeping us alive longer, keeping us healthier, keeping our hearts going better, keeping our blood pressures down, keeping us losing weight. These are resources we need that aren't available because we're using them to fight our environment. Pretty sad affair.
It's amazing when you think of your immune system is a system.
Yes.
You know, just like your vascular system or your skeletal system. And we don't give it the love and cherish it like we should. So if we're putting a lot of chemicals or exposing it, our immune system has to work with it. And you're right. Your immune system probably is handling those same
right.
chemicals better than your wife's immune system was handling it.
Yeah. I can go to town and shop. I can go to the store and shop. I can still do that and come home and not get sick. My wife can't. If she went to the store and she sucked in enough truck fumes and perfumes and hairsprays and soaps and dryer sheet stuff on people's clothes, she'd come home and she'd be very, very sick. And I'm so glad and I'm so fortunate that we live out here in the country, here in West Virginia, where the air is clean, the water is good from our well, and we have filters on our water well, even that, to get the bacteria and the arsenic and everything else that might be in there. And these have really improved her health. So it is possible, it's very possible, to reverse these problems, to live with them, to keep better, keep our health better, and keep our environment cleaner. It's possible to do that. And it's possible to do that no matter where we are. But I just encourage people to do whatever's necessary to try to clean up our act and so that we can live and think better.
Well, this ties into every lifestyle ailment. You know, when you think about it, if you have cancer, you need to clean up your act.
That's right.
And eat organic and not subject yourself to chemicals. And if you have diabetes, you need to do the same thing because your immune system is the one it's the system that keeps you alive and keeps you healthy.
Yeah. And, you know, Dorinda would want me to say this for sure. She would say, please tell the radio audience that you're not crazy. You're not insane. When you think you are, because nothing seems to help you, and your brain is struggling to deal with these issues, and you are thinking there's something wrong with me. There must be something mentally wrong with me. I must be just a basket case here. And she says, no. It's probably the environment. And if you clean up that environment, you'll become your old, wonderful self rather rapidly.
In fact, that negative thinking can contribute.
Absolutely.
You need to. I always say, no dry bones around here. No dry bones.
Absolutely. And of course, God is there to help every step of the way. We pray each night for God to help us see what we need to do and to guide our steps. And He does, and He does it consistently.
Well, we're coming to the end of our show. What would be one last word of advice that you could give our parents if they suspect that their child is having a sensitivity to chemicals?
I would just simply say, clean up your act, clean up your environment, clean up your home, and clean up your relationship with God. That'll help too.
Amen. Well, I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless. And thank you so much, Charles.
You're welcome.
For being with us today.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.